Hello, this is Marlon Sanders, and it is my great pleasure and delight to have Dagan Smith on the line with me today. Hello, how are you?
Good, excited.
Yeah, I'm excited also. And first of all, let's get the pronunciation of your name straight, because I think this is only the first or second time we've actually talked on the phone. We always talk by email. We always talk. So am I pronouncing your name correctly, Dagan?
Yeah, you are. Most people actually do it wrong. They'll say Deegan. So you got it right the first time.
Okay, great. I'm lucky. It's really so weird how that you can know somebody really well by email, and yet you hardly ever talk to them on the phone.
Yeah. I mean, especially in this world, you know?
Yeah, so it's cool. Actually, I'm so jazzed and excited about talking to you today, because I'm just going to start out with the outcome here, the outcome of why we're on this call and why we're talking. Tell us about approximately, off the top of your head, how many, well, actually, I know the numbers because I've seen them, but how many opt-ins you get average per day on your list, just total number of opt-ins to your email list every day.
Total number of opt-ins range on a low day, maybe 200. On a good day, maybe 1,150. But most, if we average it all out, between 400 and 500, it would be about.
And I saw a graph of your stats, and that's what I was going to say. From the graph, it looked like you were averaging about 400 to 500 opt-ins. That's not per week. That's not per month. That is per day.
Yep.
I don't know a lot of people that are willing to talk about it that are getting 400 to 500 per day. There's probably people out there doing it, but they ain't willing to talk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You're a guy that's amazingly open and amazingly transparent and willing to go to bat for you know, and reveal how you're doing your stuff. And that's exceptional, because a lot of people, Dagan, you know, there's that discrepancy between what's said and what's done. So they teach and they tell you to go do one thing, but I know this business real well, and I know what goes behind the scenes, and what they're really doing is something different than what they're teaching. The reason I got you on the phone is because, A, your results speak for themselves, and B, you have the integrity to teach really what it is you're doing, and again, very few people are willing to do that. So I want to welcome and thank you for being on this call. And I'm going to start out with a simple question. How did you go from being, really only a few years ago, from being just another guy doing network marketing or an MLM, to someone who's driving big traffic, is broken out of the noise, and now is teaching people into the, almost a consultant or whatever, advisor, to the MLM industry, helping and teaching people how to generate their own leads? And you did all of this in a relatively short space of time. So how did you make all of this happen?
It was definitely an evolution. It's starting with failure, like most people. I started in the network marketing industry after finding the internet and being enamored by affiliate marketing and things like this. And network marketing resonated with me as well. Kind of on a higher level, because I felt like I wanted to build a team and do things with a group, and also the leverage involved. So my first stab at it, I wanted to do it online, because that's kind of how I came into this stuff. And there wasn't much going on in terms of training and teaching people how to do it online. To make a long story short, I got involved with a business that I thought I was going to be able to learn and apply some internet strategies. I was very new at that point. But basically what happened was, the guy that brought me into the business kind of said, hey, Dagan, here's how we do internet marketing for our business. You go over to this lead shop online, so hence the internet part, buy the leads, and then call them. Now, it wasn't, you know, the version of, that I was in thinking and imagining, envisioning I was going to get myself into, but follow along the path. Long story short, 7 months later, about $8,000 spent on the credit card and no real way to pay it back. And just kind of looked at the situation and asked the question, you know, if this is how it's working for me when I bring a person in, and this discussion isn't about network marketing, so this stuff will be pretty short. You know, do I really want to bring someone into that situation? And I didn't. So I went back and I just kind of looked around the internet, and one of the most valuable things I did at that point was I looked around different niches to see what people were doing. Because if you take the time to do that, you'll start to notice similarities, right? Okay, these guys in the guinea pig niche have this certain marketing funnel. These guys in this health niche have this certain marketing funnel. These guys in the home business niche have this certain marketing funnel. Well, what are the things that are the same? And I just started to take notes on the things that were the same and understood for the first time what a marketing funnel was. And at the same time, really honed in on what I wanted to do. I don't remember the course I bought, but it said you're not going anywhere until you understand what market you want to be in and who you want to be to the market. And what I really wanted to do was grow a network marketing business without picking up the phone. So I got my clarity right, understood a marketing system, got involved with a business, and started applying some of the traffic generation strategies I'm sure we're going to talk about today. And in a short period of time, ended up with a very large organization and a story to talk about.
Well, let me add something to this. And this isn't a call about MLM. This is a call about lead generation. But we got to tell your story for it to make sense. And here's something I wanted to bring up is it's funny because in your industry, in the MLM industry, and this is an important point to me, there are those people, and I've seen them, I've read them, that say, you know, network marketing is a body-to-body, eyeball-to-eyeball business, and you got to get on the phone. It's all contact, 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 contact. And the internet is just, you know, a fly-by-night, whatever, for it. Mm-hmm. And this is common, Dagan. I mean, I was just on a call with people in my business, and the same thing. Well, you know, who's really making money except selling how to make internet marketing? I'm like, well, billions, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's kind of the same thing. And so it's funny to me, people said it couldn't be done, and you really went against the grain because there weren't a lot of people out there saying, you know, you can do MLM on the internet and really make it fly and really make it work and use just really basic, solid, direct response marketing to do it. So how did you – and we're going to get into specifics of your lead generation, just so much great stuff, but my first question is just how did you figure out that – yeah, you didn't have to buy the leads and call up the people on the phone like everybody told you. And how did you figure out you really could generate a lead on the internet that would turn into something?
Well, because I started out with affiliate marketing, I would make a few commissions every now and then. So I saw that conversions could happen. So I kind of knew that part. It was just a matter of me finding that model and applying some of the strategies I was using. With kind of the affiliate model to the network marketing model with a few modifications because it is a different animal slightly. Honestly just testing. I mean, it's, you know, what I did a whole lot of early in the early days was newsletter marketing. Because some of the first successes I had were newsletter ads that went out and poof, 20 people would be in the business. So let's go do this a bunch. And so it was trial and error.
Now you mean solo mailings, a standalone email sent to someone's e-sign list. Is that what you're referring to?
Yep. So paid for advertisement and newsletter publications in the home business and
now,
network
were you
marketing.
Doing sponsor ads where you just kind of had your classified ad in their e-sign? Or were you doing solo mailings where they just send your standalone email to their list, or were you doing both?
Very good question. At the beginning, I was doing both, but I did a little test myself, and this is, I guess, a good little tip. What I did was I tested placing what's called a top sponsor in a newsletter compared with a solo ad. So just my message going out to the entire subscriber base all by itself. And, of course, the solo ad won. I'm going to tell you why it really wins all the time in a second. But I wanted to do another test, so I placed a top sponsor and a middle sponsor compared to a solo ad. And again, the solo ad won. The reason why is because you control the headline space. In a solo ad, you don't necessarily control that space, or the subject space. In a solo ad, you don't necessarily control that space in a sponsorship situation. And that's the most important spot to have. So once I did that little test myself, it was all solo ads, unless it was a very specific an unique situation where the traffic pulled extremely well in a sponsorship position.
Now, and you still do these things today, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you got started literally sending out. Now, how much did these ads cost, and what kind of ROI did you get on them when you were starting out? I mean.
Well, it's kind of convoluted because it's network marketing. So, you know, the money's cut up in all these tiny little pieces.
Sure, sure. Just approximations, you know.
Yeah, yeah. When I started, the newsletter ads were cheap. The first ad I placed was $40.
All right.
And I actually found the person. Have you heard of Dr. Manny?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Great guy. I love him.
Yeah, he had an offer in the Warrior Forum for a solo ad in one of his free tips newsletters.
Yep.
And I said, I'll take one of those, and paid $40 and ended up with 18 people coming on the team. It's hard to say the ROI,
right.
And here's why. Because some of those people that came in from that initial newsletter mailing are still on my team today. And some of those people in that initial mailing went on to recruit hundreds of people themselves. So let's say
it's many, 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 many multiples of the $40.
Yeah, over the 3-year span, it's it's a lot more than the $40.
All right.
On average though, and you know, I scaled up and have done newsletter ads as much as $5,000 and, you know, some pretty big deals. On average, I'm basically looking to break even, and with the right sort of research, most times I would.
Break even within what kind of time span?
On the initial fast start payment that we would get in the company. But then I started to get a little smarter about the whole situation.
Yeah.
Because what I started to do was we would do co-ops, so all of us would put money together.
All right.
And I would also, instead of sending traffic to the business, I created my own lead capture page that I then started to have a communication with on a daily basis. And I would introduce other products and services besides the network marketing opportunity.
Was that a big breakthrough for you, that lead going to a lead capture page?
Yeah. Because now what I could say to everybody was, hey, if we make money off these other offers that we're doing, well, that's more ROI, and we're going to put it back into spending again.
All right. Well, we may come back to that because I find that topic interesting, but I want to dig into some specific numbers here so that the people on the call that's like, you know, they just don't want generalities. They want to know some facts, you know. You know how it is, you know, they're tired of just people blowing smoke at them and going, oh, yeah, yeah, I got all these great methods, which is what happens so much. You're willing to share some specifics. So tell me at least what you know or can tell us about opt-in rates for, like, banners or text ads or whatever you got, whatever numbers you've been able to assemble. Tell us what you've been able to find out here that you can share.
Absolutely. So I'm actually looking at some of my stats right now. I've done a ton of article marketing, and I like article traffic because it converts well from traffic to lead. I'm looking at the stats right now. It's about 18.28%. And then that traffic, though, for the offers that I have afterwards, has converted into 17 sales this is a 2-week time span I'm looking at.
When you said 18.28%, you mean 18% of the people that go to a lead capture page from an article go ahead and enter their name and email or opt in?
Yep, for my stats.
All right. And then, so out the 18% opt in, and then what was this 17%?
17 sales.
17 sales.
So
in the last 2 weeks, you got 17 sales from articles?
Yep. And total ROI, well, total dollar amount, $811. So not bad. It does, you know, they're out there. I don't do anything.
All right. So there's your art. Now, these articles, is this your cumulative? This is 17 sales from all the articles you've submitted to date and the traffic you're getting from them. Is that what that means?
Not really. It means, from the about last 300 articles.
All right.
That I submitted, because you got to understand, there was a switch in my marketing from marketing a company all the time
yep.
to having my own products and services.
Okay.
So the article traffic initially was going to businesses, home businesses, right. And then I started to do my own article marketing, ramp that up for my own stuff.
All right. So you get about 18% opt-in rate from article marketing, which is good. So let's talk about how that compares to some other things.
Newsletter marketing I love more than anything else. I have one newsletter here, 282 clicks, 107 leads, so that's a conversion rate from unique click to lead of 37.94%, and it's not uncommon to run a newsletter ad and have a 50% or better conversion rate. Out of those 107 leads, 12 sales and $648. So total
cost. What was the cost of that ad?
Total cost for this ad was actually $675. But it's actually a two newsletter ad spend, so that's kind of only half the ROI.
Okay.
There's another ad to go out. Let's go through here and look at a couple other things. Other newsletters, like one small newsletter I did, 18 clicks total, 15 opt-ins, and this is kind of how it goes. People will say you got to get tons and tons of traffic from one place. Well, I like to diversify.
Okay.
So 18 clicks, 15 uniques, 4 this is actually a crazy number, to be honest. 18 clicks, 15 unique clicks, and 15 opt-ins and 4 sales for $267. So total cost of that ad was $75.
Wow. You know, and that's interesting, Dagan, because a lot of people, I mean, here you are generating, you know, 300, 400, 500, 600 leads a day, and yet you're willing to go run an ad in a newsletter where you get 15 opt-ins.
Yeah, why not? You know, and one of my favorite things to do is, and I think a lot of people miss this, is who cares where the traffic comes from? If it converts, it converts. And if it converts, what you do is you just go back and say, hey, this works. If we're talking about the newsletter situation, how can we make this a long-term deal? And then you just have it coming in all the time. And that's kind of like how I've ramped up.
But a small newsletter, how often can you run an ad in there without, you know, saturating it or whatever? Can you do it once a month, once every 2 months, or?
A small newsletter like that, once a month is fine.
Once a month. Now, what about the bigger ones?
Bigger ones, depends on how fast they're growing. Some of the bigger newsletters that I have ads in, over 500,000 folks on the list and growing at a rate of about 40 to 50,000 a month. I have ads that run every 2 weeks. I don't change the ads one lick. And every single time the ad goes out, for instance, here's one, 1,442 unique clicks, 587 leads, 22 sales. So a little bit lower conversion. 40% conversion from traffic to lead. And I don't want to try to do the math on the conversion from lead to sale, but $715 and all these numbers I'm telling you are just front end numbers.
Yeah.
There's other stuff going on in the background,
sure.
So they're actually more conservative than the truth. 22 sales, $715. That ad costs me about $1,500 to have two of those go out every month. So it's breaking even on the front end. I'm happy and I just keep it rolling.
Now, the revenue you're counting there, because you have some upsells when people order, you sell them a back-end product, I think, for $250 or something. Does that include everything they buy on the first initial sell, upsells and downsells?
No, that's what I'm saying. It only includes the initial purchase and the first upsell.
Just the first upsell.
And so I guess we can talk about that, too, a little bit if you want. Later, but there's additional upsells, and that's why I say these numbers are conservative.
Okay, so these numbers would be conservative.
Yep.
All right, but that's good because you're showing some ROI here. All right, more newsletters, or do you want to go on to the next traffic source?
Let me go down here and find some banners.
All right. Well, I want to ask you this on the eZines. Do you only run, like, business or network marketing, biz-oppy-type eZines, or do you run some stuff that's out of the box? like business, home-based business, or something a little bit more broad or general?
Yeah, I actually do. In some of the bigger newsletters, I'll go out and it may be just a daily cartoon newsletter or a daily quote newsletter,
I see, I didn't know you did that. Well, yep. I always heard those things didn't convert.
Well, what I've always found is, you know, you got to test. So sometimes you'll test and it doesn't work, you don't do it again. If you find one that works, you find out
other
spots.
Have you been able to monetize something that's just general like that? I mean, have something that would at least break even, like, because these cartoons and quote stuff have big circulations. But do you break even on anything that's like that?
The one I just told you about is a newsletter that gives out freebies on the internet daily to people.
Yep.
And I have an ad that goes out every Tuesday, and so the ROI was breaking even, 587 leads and 700.
On a newsletter offering freebies?
Yep.
Because, you know, the conventional wisdom is these are freebie seekers. These people ain't going to spend no money. They're looking for freebies.
Oh, you know, you never know. And that's a good point, because there's one thing. Before I go to the newsletters, then we'll do some text links.
Yep.
Or before I go to the banners.
All right.
I will also do some text links and things like that.
All right.
There's one stat here that's funny to me. Have you heard of Traffic Swarm?
Yes.
Traffic Swarm is...
But a lot of
people
don't know it, so explain what it is and then talk about it.
Traffic Swarm is a traffic exchange. So basically, you go in there and you click around on people's ads and look at their stuff, and you get credits for them to click on your stuff and look at your stuff. So the most, I guess, extreme example of freebie-seeking people, right?
Yep.
Because all they're doing is clicking around so people look at their stuff.
Yep.
What I found there is, of course, because of the nature, your conversion from traffic to lead isn't high. So
yep.
In the last couple of weeks, I've had about 2,991 unique visitors, 101 leads, so 3.38% conversion traffic to lead, but 16 sales, $324.32, and I pay $30 a month for Traffic Swarm, but just so I don't have to go around and click on stuff myself. And so that's like a 1,000% ROI.
Now let me just see if I understand what you said. So you're telling me in the last 2 weeks off of Traffic Swarm, you got 2,000 visitors.
3,000.
3,000, about 3,000 visitors?
Yep.
Okay, I got the number wrong. 3,000 visitors.
2,991.
Oh, I see how I messed that up. Okay. 101 leads and 16 sales in two weeks?
Yep.
I mean, there's these people, Dagan, who are saying, I've been on the internet forever trying this thing and I never even made one sell, or, you know, or I only made one sell. So you're saying they could just use something like Traffic Swarm and at least beat the heck out of what they've been doing.
Yeah.
And this isn't even pay-per-click or something. This is just something real simple. That's really on autopilot, isn't it? Like, once you get that set up, it doesn't take none of your time, does it?
No. I don't even think about it. It's kind of, you know, I just kind of go in there sometimes and say, oh, that's kind of funny that even makes money, but it does.
Wow. How much money do you think you made off of there? How many leads do you think you generated off of there in the last year? I mean, I know you probably don't have that stat, but you can kind of ballpark estimate.
I would say right now it's almost two quarters or two-thirds of the year over. Probably close to almost 1,000 leads.
Wow.
You know? And it's all these little things that start to add up.
See, that's what's interesting to me, and we're going to talk about how you manage to do all these little things in a minute, because these things take time. But that Traffic Swarm thing, that's something. Like, I would have, if you told me that, Dagan, I would have believed the opt-ins, but I never would have believed the sales.
Me either. It's funny to me to look at this and see. But it's the stat. You know,
that's
it is what it is.
Crazy. All right. Hey, let's talk about banners.
Okay. Actually, it's going to be easier. Let me go to text links.
Text
first.
Links are great. Let's talk about text links.
Text links, I have, so one text links I have here is for a website called Well, I mean, I guess maybe not say the website.
Yeah, probably don't want to do it or somebody will rip you off, dude.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but is an internet marketing website, home-based business website, general humor website, kind of just category?
This particular website is a home business-based website.
Okay, home business-based website.
And it's just a simple little, I think it's 60-character text link I have there.
Okay.
And 852 unique visitors, 223 leads, so 26.17% conversion from traffic.
Wait, what was that percent conversion?
26.17.
26.1 conversion on your squeeze page, okay.
And four sales. So
in what time span?
So I haven't changed the view in my traffic stats here. So we're all looking at 2 weeks right now.
Oh, in 2 weeks, okay. Now I don't understand. Is that just like a classified ad on their site? Kind of like, is that what it is, or what is this?
It's just a link. So if you go to this website on the homepage, there's a link over to the right hand side, and it's my little text link.
Really?
Yeah. In fact, if I actually go back and look at some past months, I can. Because that's a niche-specific text link. If I go back and change my view, I can pull up some more historical facts on.
See, I didn't know. That's interesting, because how did you find their text link? Just surfing, or did you find it through some site? I haven't seen people buying text links like that, is what I'm trying to say. Or I guess there's those sites like text link ads and things, but I thought those were really just for search engine marketing.
Well, there was this phase at the beginning for me, Marlon, where I had this co-op fund that I had to place ads for.
Yeah.
So it meant I was spending a lot of time doing research and finding places to place ads.
Yep.
And I don't know exactly how I came across this site initially, but to be honest, if you did a Google search for it and you were searching home business stuff, you'd come across it within five or six searches.
Huh.
So it's a pretty high traffic home business site.
How much do you think you pay for that a month?
I don't pay per month. I pay per quarter. It's $900 per quarter, and the amount that I earned in that time period was $70. So, you know, not making a ton of money in this last 2 week period, but it does pay for itself historically. So I keep it going.
In other words, you break even per quarter. You break even.
Yeah, and this again, we're talking about. The stats that I have here, there's other stuff going on that actually.
Yeah, yeah. Use a conservative figures here.
Yep.
Yeah, let's look at, do you have your historical stats on that?
Yep. So I pulled this up
for
a longer time period. And let me go and find these text links.
Because the cool thing about these text links are it's like the traffic swarm. It's a set it and forget it.
Yep, exactly. And I'm all about just putting something up there and letting it go. So this text link. So talking about some of the costs here, it gets kind of hard because sometimes when you buy traffic from a website, you may get a package of banners, newsletters, and text links.
Yeah.
So this is one of those cases. So, but this is a general interest website, nothing to do with marketing. And in the time period from, I guess I put this back to go a year, from this text link on this general website, 11,360 views, 259 leads. So again, a lower, kind of like the other text link, or not like the other text link, I'm sorry, kind of like traffic swarm in terms of conversion. 259 leads, 18 sales, $1,135. The total cost for that package was close to $8,000. It wasn't cheap, but there was also other parts added, like banners and, like I said, newsletter mailings. So it's not going to be completely representative.
Now, is that the same as this other text link website or a different one?
This is a totally different one. Like I said,
you say general interest, what does that mean?
News. Like, just news.
Really? All right. So just something that, you know, not people wanting to make money or something, they're just going to check the news and boom, your ad's there.
Yep.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of stuff out there. It's just a matter of testing it.
Now, I do have a question on the ROI on that one because, I mean, you had 259 leads, 18 sales. That brought in a grand, roughly, but you spent $8,000. but you got, you know, newsletter mailings and some stuff with it. But if you only got a G there, I guess from the text link, that you had $7,000 more bucks to make up. Did you break even after it was all said and done?
On this one, I don't think I did.
All right.
On this one, because I'm looking, trying to look through all the different components, and there's a bunch.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to add it up.
All right.
It looks like it's about $4,500 that I made up.
All right. So, now, with the rest of your back end, you still probably broke even, but just using the conservative, more upfront sales, you didn't.
Yeah, no. And, you know, I'm always willing to take a risk, so it's not a big deal.
Okay.
And, yeah, that's why you need a back end, right? That's why you need...
Now, do you have any text links running on any other kind of sites?
Let me see here. Yeah, but they're like the other one that I just told you about. They're kind of more general interest.
Oh yeah, so your numbers are going to be kind of low on those.
Yeah, they're kind of the same. Not quite breaking even, but it's an okay situation.
Close enough.
Back end, yeah.
But those are are those other ones packages also where you got not just text links but banners, newsletter mailings, the whole kind of ball of wax?
No, some of them are just text links.
All right.
Some of them are just banners. So let's go and find a banner.
All right. Now, are you looking at this in Abtract Gold, or what are you looking at your numbers in?
That is exactly what I'm looking at my numbers in right now.
All right. For people who don't know, there's a thing. It's Abtract, Adtrackz. Isn't that it? Is that Abtrackz.com? Is that the website, Dagan?
Yep.
So Abtrackz.com. And it's an ad tracking program that what installs on your server, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
Do you religiously, so if you're running a text ad, it doesn't go directly to your website. Is this right? It goes through your domain that you set AdTrackZ up on. Is that right?
Which is the same domain.
Same domain. Okay.
Yep. Right. I just have it on the domain as a its own little file folder.
All right. So now you got banners.
So here's a banner, not doing too well, but let's give you the numbers anyway.
Sure.
It's 2,044 unique visitors, 269 leads, 7 sales, for a grand total of $90.59.
Okay.
As far as these stats are concerned.
Yep.
And this ad was started about 2 months ago. And I paid for a full year.
Yep.
For $2,800. So we'll see how it does. But it's kind of early in the game. It doesn't look like it's going to make up the ground on the initial front end part, but we'll see. It's
all
a
right.
test.
So yeah, that one may be a little bit of a losing proposition there.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, I want to talk about, there are other ways to place banners. In newsletters, you can also, if you look out there, there's some big newsletters, you can find, that not only solo ads or spots that you can place things in, because like you just said, are you placing ads in more than just home business niches?
Yeah.
And it's in these other spaces where maybe instead of a solo ad, I have a banner that's part of that newsletter publication. And most bigger publications have newsletter spots or banner spots or text link in a newsletter publication like that. And those historically do pretty well. The click-through rate is not as good as doing just a top sponsor or a solo ad,
yeah.
But the conversion from traffic to lead is pretty good. So it's
a banner and an HTML type e-sign is okay.
Yeah, as long as it's, and here's the type of banners that I found have worked well. A picture of a person, and family smiling, or and I'm talking about the kind of home business niche. And then a text with an action item that says, go here to watch free video or go here to get something free. Because I'm dealing in the home business niche, the message is always, here's how I quit my job. as, or here's how this ex bike courier quit his job and earned blah, blah, blah in X amount of time, and watch this free video to see how you can do the same too. So basically that sort of a, you know, message always pulls well. It's very generic, but you can go straight to something like that and feel pretty good about it. Let's go to, are you here with me?
Yeah, dude, I was making some notes on that.
Okay.
Well, that was an interesting thing about the psychology. Now, is that the same message you would put on a text link or something, or would the text links be different than kind of like a general interest banner?
A text link's generally short.
Okay.
So it's like 60 characters. So it might be X bike courier earns amount of money.
Yeah.
Free video reveals all.
All right.
You know, so you're just taking the biggest part, and ideally you want to put a time frame. X bike courier, whoever you are, earns X amount of money. And this is specific to this niche. If you're in a health niche, it could be fat slob loses 500 pounds,
sure,
you know, in Y time,
right.
Free video, free report, explains.
Now, what is your call to action? Free video explains or what?
Free video reveals all.
Okay.
Is what I use most of the time. And that's kind of a new change for me. And it's because I did some tests with videos-only capture pages. And, I mean, the conversions, when we start talking about pay-per-click and things like that, have just increased substantially, 50 to 100% increase in conversion from traffic to lead. And it also increases conversion from a person just kind of viewing the message to clicking the message. Because everybody wants to be entertained. Everybody wants to see a free video. So not all of my message in everything that I do say that yet, but as I go back and renew. And
but the free video is just killing it right now.
It's just a killer call to action.
What about putting that on the banner, like the screen capture of the video playing, you know, and then free video reveals whatever?
Yeah, I haven't tested. I need to test that image. So I'll have to get back to you on that one. Here's one other thing that I don't know if people use, but there's a form of traffic called cost per view.
Okay, CPV, cost per view.
And I like it. Basically, it kind of works like Google does. You have a list of keywords, and instead of bidding per click, you bid per view. And because you're bidding per view, the bids are quite a bit lower. So instead of bidding 30 cents per click, you're bidding like 1.5 cents per view. So I found it to be an extremely robust traffic source in terms of generating, you know, kind of push button traffic, kind of put some money in, turn it on, get some money out.
Yep.
And here's the result. You know, I'll give you some numbers. From this Zango, that's the spot I'm doing on this one. Ad, about 156,000 unique visitors, 5,456 leads, 68 sales, so a little bit over 1% sales rate. I spent about $1,600 total, and on the front end here made a little bit over $1,000, so lost a little bit, but is definitely made up for on the back end. So it's
now when you say 156,000 visitors, that means that's the views or the display of your ad, basically.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. And my average cost per view was kind of close to one cent.
So about a penny.
Yeah. That's why I like it, because it's super duper cheap traffic. And what ends up happening with it, if anyone listening to this goes and tests, is you'll get tons of leads, pretty darn cheap, but the kind of counterbalance is those leads don't quite convert as well to sales. But I'll say this, doesn't mean you can't pull in some high-ticket sales, because I've used this model with some very high-tier home businesses, and to my amazement, I had people without knowing me, seeing me, anything like this, you know, join a business that's $3,000.
Hmm.
So there's life there, even high-tier life, on an automated fashion. It's just a matter of tweaking it and making it work with your numbers.
Now, but how big is the ad that's shown on the on that CPV thing? Is this like a...
No, there's no ad. So it's just your, you put in your lead capture page or wherever you're sending traffic to, and the way it works is people have kind of a plug-in to their browser.
Yeah.
And when they search for either a website or a keyword in Google and they have this thing, this little plug-in, up will pop this comparative offer. Hey, you're looking for this. This might interest you too. And it's your lead capture page.
Huh.
Or your wherever you're sending people page.
So you, so just the whole page?
Yeah. So you're not creating anything new? I mean, you could if you wanted to get intricate test a CPV version.
Use your standard old squeeze or lead capture page, all right?
Now, I don't use the video version of it because that's a very large amount of bandwidth taken there.
I see. Well, all right.
But, I mean, if you want to, you can set up, what is the Amazon,
right?
You know, a video thing, and you could still make it work, but you don't need it because the traffic is so cheap and you'll get a ton of leads. It's just fine-tuning the conversions for the numbers in your business based on sales.
All right.
I guess one other thing, I guess, because you want to go through pay-per-click a little bit.
Yeah, but let me ask you, yes, absolutely, but let me ask you on this CPV.
Yep.
How many, is that bidding on people's names, URLs, product brands, companies? What kind of keyword thing is that based on?
All of the above.
Oh, yeah. And is it like thousands that you have in there, or how many did it take in there to get your 156,000 visitors, views, or whatever?
I don't know. It might be 8,000 or so. I don't know if it's quite thousands.
So
but basically all I do is I take what's working for me in Google AdWords and plop it all into a campaign and run it.
Okay.
I figure what's working in one medium is going to work in another.
Okay.
So I just like to keep things simple. I'm sure there's better ways and more intricate, you know, engineering type ways to do it. But
before we get into Google, because we've discussed so many things here, how much time does it take on a daily basis for you to, like, research or find new traffic sources, test or write or create new ads, you know, muck around with this or that, new creative or whatever? How much time does this take a day?
Not much. It's for the traffic side, I don't do very much on a daily basis now, except for think of the resources that I'm using.
Yep.
Is there places, new places I can get more traffic from them? What do I need to do it? And make the contact. And now when I was initially starting, I was going through newsletter archives, searching Google, testing things out. And so that took some time, but once you start getting it all put into place, I mean, the way I always tell people to do this stuff is, number one, you learn how to do a traffic generation strategy. Then you get proficient at it, meaning breaking even. Then you figure out how to put it on semi-autopilot.
How do you put it on semi-autopilot?
Exactly. It is just a question. It's that exact question. You ask yourself that. So for article marketing, for instance, how do I put article marketing on autopilot? Well, there's two things involved, writing and distribution. Well, so how do I take myself out of that? I got to find someone else to write the articles and someone else to distribute them. I just feed keywords that I want articles written on and find the person to write them, find the person to distribute them, and now it's on autopilot.
So now the person who writes, do you use people in the U.S. or overseas, like, you know, India outsourcers, or how does that work?
No, it's a person in the U.S. I initially came across him from, I can't remember the guy's name, but a guy that was helping me along when I was starting out with my info product business.
Okay.
And they write articles for, I believe it's $4.50 a piece.
Okay.
I just tell them how many times I want keywords and where and, you know, the general spin. And, you know, 2 weeks later, I have 100 new articles.
So you buy like 100 at a time?
Yeah.
Well, how does that work? Like, so you buy 100 at a time, Are you targeting 100 keywords with those 100 articles, or how many keywords would those 100 articles be targeting?
One specific keyword per article for me.
Okay.
Because, well, the way that I do it is I basically, just like I said with the CPV stuff, I take what works in Google.
Yep.
And then I go ahead and do it somewhere else. So I do the same thing with articles. I say, well, this keyword's converting in a pay-per-click world. Let me go ahead and write an article about it and get it all keyword optimized and put it out there.
Well, okay, but let's say that the word, home business e-zine mailing was killer. Would mm-hmm. you only write one article on that phrase, or would you have them write three or four or five on that one phrase, or just one article per phrase and that's it?
For me, I just do one article per phrase. And here's how, because I get this question all the time, and I don't know how many people that will be listening to this do article marketing, but that question of, well, this duplicate content thing.
Right, right.
And my view on that is this, is the duplicate content thing says you can only have one version of something, right? That's
yep.
the one that's going to be in the search engine.
Right.
So you take your article and you either place it on your own site first, so that's where it's going to be, and that's the one that's going to come up on the search engines, or you place it in that most high-profile search engine or article directory, the one most likely to get a high ranking. Then you go ahead and take that same article and distribute it to the other article directories and not worry about anything else. At least for me, and the reason why is, number one, it's simple. Number two, I don't want to discount how powerful it is for the internal traffic that you're going to get, the internal exposure you're going to get in each article directory. Meaning, you know, you take one article and you put it in five article directories, well, that's five places where people can see it. Only one of them really needs to get indexed to get you traffic from Google, and that's five places where people can pick it up and put it on their website. So,
do you submit it so you put it on your website or blog or whatever, and you submit it using Article Marketer or one of those services?
No, I just do it all hand submission. Uh-huh. I've just found that for me, it's just not worth my time with that to go out and get my article in a million different places, because basically all it does is it puts your article in places that don't get much traffic. So your name's out there all over the place, but doesn't really matter. And now if we're talking about search engine optimization and links coming in, there's that discussion.
So, but you have somebody who hand submits these to, what, a handful of directories then?
Yeah, it's about 10 directories, because the ones that I found to get the most traffic and most results based on tracking. And I leave it at that, keep it simple.
Well, does the same person who writes it then submit it to those 10 directories?
No. Ideally could have the same person do it, but the people that I have that write my articles don't also submit them. So I just hire my little sister or something, you know, to go pass them around the net and give her a little bit of money. So, you know, it's an easy job. Why not?
All right. Pay-per-click. Well, that's interesting on article marketing and putting that on autopilot. Now, searching for new banner buys, doesn't that take, like, quite a bit of time to look around to try to find places you can buy banners, or no?
Yes and no. It depends on the price you want to pay.
Yeah.
And so the one way you can go is find someone who is a media buyer online. Tell them what you're trying to do. Give them a demographic for your market, and let them find placements for you. Huh. That's generally going to be more expensive, but it's going to be less time-consuming.
Huh.
Or you can go around and search. And one of the things I always like to do is I know in the home business niche, and you know maybe some other guys listening in are in the home business niches, are listening in, is there are some banners for certain businesses that are on certain sites and stay there. And I like to keep my eye on those. So as I'm searching, I may say, oh, there goes that banner again.
Yep.
Come back a month, put it on a list, and then start a conversation and say, let's do a test, and how much is it? So it's kind of like an ongoing for me, it's just kind of like an ongoing discovery.
You just kind of keep track of that in the course of your daily business then.
Yeah, I just put it on notepad and save it away and come back and check and see if they're still there later. And if they're still there, I know it's going to work for me too because it's
now,
kind of the same thing.
On your traffic exchanges, do you use any of the others other than TrafficStorm? Because there's a whole lot of traffic exchanges.
No, I don't. I don't. I used to. I mean, when I first started, I got into that whole traffic exchange thing like a lot of people do.
Yep.
And tried to do that whole weird viral marketing thing where you connect one traffic exchange to the other and all that sort of stuff. And so I learned a deal about how they work. And I found that TrafficStorm was the one that brings, I guess, kind of the best quality of visitor, if you can say that, in that arena. So, again, keeping things simple, I just have it there. Now, am I missing out on some traffic? Probably.
All right.
Probably.
Now, what about, before we get to PPC, co-regs?
Co-reg is one thing I have not done yet. So that's one big part of the game that I haven't really played with on a high level.
All right.
So we'll have to come back to that one later.
Well,
but one thing I do want to talk about is offline stuff.
Okay.
Just general postcard mailings. Because I know it's not something that people do, but they convert. I have one postcard that went out to a list of, well, it was a 4,000 person list, and I only did half of a mailing. How did I create the postcard first? Well, you take whatever the marketing message is on your website, put it on a postcard.
Okay.
That's really all you do. Put a link, put a URL or email address or call a number, however you do it. But this one mailing, postcard mailing, got 140 unique visitors, 80 leads, so a 57.14% conversion from traffic to lead, 17 sales, and earned, now it cost me, it's a little bit expensive, it cost me about $1,100, but made me back about $615 on the front end.
Okay.
So I think going offline is something I'm going to be doing a lot more of. I mean, I have some other stats, and I know we only have so much time. But if you the one thing I want to say to people is if they're going to go offline, they want to make sure they have a bigger back end.
Right, that's right. The good news about offline is it's maybe more scalable than some of the things online are. I mean, you can get big scale offline.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of autopilot, too. I mean, once you know and have a few list brokers, you go to them, or you can go to the SRDS and find good lists and test them out, and you send that over to the print shop the after you buy the list, and they'll have your postcard thing on file, and you just say, print up X number, send them out, and you track it, and you're done. So people think it's really complicated. It's not. It's just a little bit more expensive than other stuff.
Well, let's talk about Google AdWords because you do actually, let's break down your percentage, and then we'll go into Google AdWords. You know, what percent would you say comes from Google AdWords? We didn't talk about cost per action either, CPA.
Nope.
Because I know you get some from CPA. What percent come, you know, you got, let me break down your sources here. You got your articles, your CPA, cost per action, your CPV, your pay-per-click, your solo mailings, kind of what just general ballpark percents are we looking here as a total of your, you know, percentages of your total lead generation?
Historically, Google AdWords made up about one-third of my lead generation. Newsletter marketing made up about a third, and then the rest kind of filled in the pieces. But now it's kind of shift to that cost per action the last few weeks, just really, is really, really ramped up some and is accounting for a significant portion.
Well, because I got to say this to the people on this call. You may not want to reveal this, and if you don't, you know, you're allowed to pass here, certainly.
Yeah.
Because you know, you've shared more than anybody I can think of has shared probably ever, you know. Just nobody reveals these numbers. Just nobody's willing to do it. They're just not willing to go to bat. Your traffic in the last week went to like a whole nother level. If you look at Quantcast,
mm-hmm.
it's like a rocket ship that just took off. I mean, mm-hmm. already the traffic was already killer, like huge amount, very, very large amounts of traffic. But in the last week, it just went to another plane. Is that largely or partly due to cost per action just really starting to kick in?
It's due to cost per action. It's due to some new high-level newsletter advertising spots. And it's also due to ramping up some pay-per-click stuff.
All right.
And finally, it's due to the fact that I had a pretty big offer I was putting out there in the email world. Uh-huh. So I was getting a lot of traffic back to the site. So it was those things compounded. But I would say pound for pound, one of the largest portions of that is the cost per action kind of ramping up and getting bigger.
I don't know how much time we got to discuss the cost per action. We discussed a little. This is just really pay per lead. In other words, somebody sends somebody to your website, they enter their name and email, and you pay them a buck or two for that email, basically.
Yep. Simple autopilot. You just got to watch your numbers.
Yeah, it's tricky because there's fraud that goes on where people send people there just getting paid to fill out the form, so they're not legitimate leads.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch your conversions on that daily so you don't get ripped off, or how do you check individual IP addresses these leads are coming from? In other words, how far do you got to drill down on this thing to prevent fraud?
Well, that's a very good question. The answer is I do check on it daily, and if something looks fishy, I call up the account manager and say, hey, what's going on here? But now that I'm seeing this as a more significant traffic stream, I'm definitely in the process of stepping up my affiliate platform to have more robust numbers. So, in other words, I'm doing this CPA stuff just kind of on my own affiliate platform, which is just regular old stuff that regular people are using. But it really, I think you use the tool DirectTrack, right?
Right, that's right. Huh? It's a software service for affiliate programs and also can manage this pay-per-lead generation.
Yeah, and so I'm getting ready to put that into place because this is becoming a bigger portion.
Well, see, I don't understand the ramifications on DirectTrack. Does that mean, so they have this whole network, so you can then put together a thing where you're saying, I'll pay $2 per opt-in or a buck per opt-in, and put it, and then is the deal is you can put that out to their whole network? Is that the thing?
Well, there are lots of networks. Yeah, they have a network of publishers and other networks. So you can say, okay, I'm doing well in this network. I want to put this in these other four networks that look just like it.
And you can do that through DirectTrack?
Yep. Cross-publish. It's called cross-publishing.
It's called cross-publishing, really?
Yep.
I never heard anybody even talk about that. I mean, I know it's out there and I know it's done. And I think,
yep.
I know, I'm sure Keith Baxter does it, and I had an interview with him, but I don't think we got around to talking about it. Well, that could just be huge then. I mean, that could probably, double your lead flow over time, if not more?
Oh, significantly more.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say there's room for quadrupling or doing 500 times as much.
Wow.
Can
you imagine? Because you're already getting 400 to 500 leads a day. Imagine if you were getting 2,500 leads a day.
Yeah, and it's a very real possibility. And the other thing about DirectTrack is that I'm seeing, and I'm investigating and getting ready to put it into place, is that question of making sure people are doing the right thing is a lot easier, right? Because you can see, and they actually score people on how likely they are to be doing fraudulent things.
Right.
So you can visibly see each affiliate and what they're doing, and you can say, no, you're not doing the right thing, and you can take them out of the mix yourself.
Well, you can see if all the leads are coming from, a third world country where people there are willing to fill out forms for 20 cents a form or something. You can see IP addresses. I mean, you can see the whole thing there.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, that's really cool. If that's not cutting edge, I don't know what is, because nobody else. I know other people do it, but, anybody really has the guts to come forward and say they're doing it or going to do it or whatever. Pay-per-click, you're big in, and I don't even know where to start talking about pay-per-click. What do you got to say about it? Where do you start, even?
Well, pay-per-click, I mean, I was at a mastermind meeting not too long ago, and I was kind of explaining pay-per-click to people. And I wouldn't call myself an expert on it. I just use it, and it works pretty good for me. The biggest mistake people make is they'll try to go too broad with their keywords. So they'll say things like, well, I have a fitness business. Well, get in shape is a good keyword. Lose fat is a good keyword. And they don't get any results. And we kind of all know why. The biggest thing to realize from a conceptual standpoint is you want to target sophisticated prospects. So when I teach people how to do this stuff, I always tell them an example of you want to put your ad out on a keyword like my name, Dagan Smith, because only a person who's sophisticated enough to know about network marketing and Dagan Smith having something to do with it is going to go there, and that person most likely knows Dagan has something to offer for sale. And that's who you want to get your message out in front of. So you want to be very targeted. The other thing I want to say is there really isn't any privacy anymore. So you can really just go out there and figure out what your competition is doing.
Well, yeah, there's a software program called Keyword Spy. There's also Key Compete. There's SpyFu, SpyFu.com. They all will go, frankly, and grab other people's keywords.
Yeah. And I highly recommend people do that.
That actually work for you, where you go. I mean, I've heard of people doing it, but you go take somebody else's keywords, throw them in. Let's say you went and you grab XYZ marketer's keywords, and you happen to know they're doing pretty good. You drop them in there. What percentage of those keywords are probably going to be making money for you or breaking even after, say? Well, how long do you test it? Do you test it a week? Do you test it 2 weeks? And what percentage of the keywords will probably go ahead and work out for you?
Well, when I'm doing pay-per-click, I'm basically looking at cost per lead.
Yep.
Because I know historically for general keyword sort of traffic that I convert about 5 to 7% on the front end. And, you know, you can get higher over the course of time with email and stuff like that. So I know the math behind it. And so basically all I'm looking for is leads at a certain amount. So exactly what you just said is what I'll look at right now. I'm in my Google AdWords account. A couple weeks ago, I had my younger brother here, and I gave him a task. We went into Keyword Spy, and I pulled out one person's keywords, and I said, go through these keywords, arrange them into groups, no more than, I think I told him, 4 keywords per group that are tightly fit together. And then let's do the different matches, broad, phrase, and exact, and let's pop them all into Google AdWords and see what happens. So looking at those results this month for this one particular competitor, I've had 2,625 clicks out of 310 impressions, which is a click-through rate of about 0.84%, but it's because it's also in the content network. So I'll talk a little bit about that in a second.
Okay.
Average cost per click has been about 28 cents. I've spent about $735 on this campaign. I've converted 14.78% of those visitors into leads at a cost of $1.90 a piece and generated 388 leads. So a couple days of me telling my brother to go do this stuff, which is very mechanical, has led to 400 leads this month at $1.90 a piece.
Wow.
So that's why I say, just go steal your competitor's keywords. As long as you know the numbers in your business, it's like instant traffic in a couple days.
So you're saying out of the people from pay-per-click that opt into your list, 5 to 7% of them will buy your initial offer?
Yeah.
All right.
And I know that along with the back-end stuff that goes on.
Right,
you know,
right. Now, what about percentage of search? You got the search network. That's where people are going to Google and searching for, you know, a term. And you got content. That's where they're seeing your ad out there on any website where you see the Google ads on websites and they decide to click your ad.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage do you do search versus content?
I'm kind of lazy in that. I'll admit it. If I have a campaign that's working well for search, I won't go and separate it and put it into a separate content network campaign like it's taught to do.
Right.
I'll just turn on search and content network in that same campaign and just kind of see what happens. So I'm looking at one one particular ad here. And what I typically find in most cases, every now and then this is flip-flopped, but most of the time you'll get less traffic from the content network for any particular ad group because they're kind of small and niche than you will for the actual search terms, at least in my stuff. But you'll get, so for instance, I'm looking at one ad group, and this ad group had 648 clicks in the last month. 135 of those clicks came from the search network, turning into 24 leads at $1.27 per lead, a conversion rate of 17.78%, and 513 clicks came from the search network for a 10.92% conversion rate from traffic to lead, $2.68 per lead, but 56 total leads. So the trend I see in my business is basically you'll get the cheaper leads and the higher conversion rates from the content network than you will the search network, but both leads are valuable. Does that kind of answer the question?
Yeah, but they're cheaper, but now which one converts better, the content or the search?
In terms of customers?
Yeah, into customers.
I've found that the content network leads typically convert about, I don't want to say 50% better is a good conservative estimate.
Okay, well, then I got a dumb question. Why would you test search and only turn on content if the search is working? Why wouldn't you test content and only turn on search if the content's working?
Because you can't see, and this is just for me, the way I do it.
Yeah.
I can't see all the websites and all exactly where all the traffic is coming from when I'm talking about the content network. Now, there are tools you can use to see into it a little bit better. One of them is called ppseer.com.
Right.
And you can, you know, get rid of keywords.
Right.
Or get rid of websites that aren't converting for you in the content network. I think you should do it if you're going to if you're getting into the content network. So I like to target in the search network and weed out the keywords that are not converting well in the search network first, so that then when the ads are going out in the content network, it's like a mix of the two. It's like you're getting the best keywords, the best conversions from the search network, and you're getting like some gravy on top from the content network.
Well, now do you use this? Go ahead.
Ideally, if you're an engineer, if you're a Perry Marshall guy,
right,
you're separating these things into two separate campaigns, and you're doing all that stuff. But I'm just saying, I don't really care.
That's why I like your approach to PPC. To be honest, Dagan, is because most people ain't Perry Marshall. You know what I'm saying? Most of us have got a stupid business to run.
Yeah,
and we don't got time to be a perfectionist. And you're able to monetize the thing without being, you know, having all these perfect everythings on it.
Yeah, I think if there's one thing I've learned over time, and I appreciate that compliment, is to, in certain instances, let good enough be good enough. If you're a one-man show, there's a lot of things to manage. And if you want to do it and still have a good quality of life and hang out, you do it the way that is comfortable for you. Now, if you want to get super huge and take over the world, bring on some employees, let them do all the number crunching and do it all perfectly. But if you're a one-man show, you can get thousands of leads, but you're just not, at least the way that I found it to be, and unless you're a totally technical person, it's all up to you, you're just not going to want to be sitting around checking your Google ads every day, your CPA network traffic every day, your articles every day, your banner ads every day, and all these things. There's like a happy medium you find where you know conversions are coming and you can keep going through that cycle and adding more. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally does. Now, when you test on search, how many clicks do you get before you decide you got a test that's where you make your decision of, I'm going to keep this keyword or I'm dumping this baby?
how many clicks.
Yeah, or how do you judge it when you're going to go, okay, I'm cutting off this keyword.
For me, I'll wait to 100, but if a person's just getting started, you can make an okay estimate at about 50 clicks. So if you've had 50 clicks and you've got, like, two leads and it's, like, costing you know, $11 per lead, probably it's not going to turn around. You can go ahead and turn it off. But I like to wait a little longer because now my business is growing and I can give it more time than I could at the beginning.
What about the ones that just get the clicks but get them real, real, real slow? Do you just leave them there till you get
them?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I'll once a month go in and check to see what's looking good. Some numbers looking awry in a campaign, I'll go in and see if it's coming from a particular ad group. Then I'll dig in and see if it's coming from a particular ad. And for ones that kind of go real slow, you just give it more time. They're not costing you much per day.
Right.
But over the course of the long period of time, they can be a good, steady stream of leads. If you got 100, you know, places bringing you one lead a day, that's still extra 100 leads a day.
All right. Now, do you buy banners much through Google, or you really just mostly do the content in the search?
No, I actually like the site targeting network too. And I've tested it from all angles. I mean, I bought everybody's products on everything and so I've tested a lot. And here's a tip, and probably this, I don't know if I should give this. If you're going to use a site targeting function, which is basically you find sites that have AdSense on them and you go in and you place a site targeted campaign to run your ads on that particular site, the type of sites that I found that work the best are like forums in your niche that have AdSense on them. So if you can find a couple forums in your niche that have AdSense, those are the type of sites you want to get your ad on through the site targeting function. Now, in terms of do I do banners, I've tested banners, and I've tested just a big text ad, and it's kind of, I found in my business when I do banners that you'll get great response at first, but then it'll like trail and fall off at a point. So you either have to keep new banners coming in fresh all the time, or just compromise and use a text ad, which stays, at least for me, it stayed pretty darn consistent on the websites I have them placed on.
But I don't know, because aren't there sites where you can buy banners but you can't buy text ads, or pretty much if there's a banner there you can buy the text ad and you're probably just as good off buying the text ad?
Oh, no, yeah. Predominantly, you can buy a text ad if there's AdSense there, at least as far as every site I've seen.
Yeah.
But you can usurp the whole ad space if you have a banner that fits that space and you bid higher than the next guy. So you kind of get rid of the competition on that page.
Now, the big thing about pay-per-click and Google, at least in this last year, has been quality score. Now, I was watching one of your videos, because you got a whole big course box thing coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be incredible. It's just going to be amazing. But one of the things that I saw in this video is a lot of your quality scores were like okay.
Yeah.
Do you just shoot for okay? Is that good enough? What's your opinion or approach to quality score?
Well, I guess my overall approach to marketing is to diversify. So I'm not necessarily, at least from my motto and how I like to do things, that worried about getting great scores as long as my cost per lead is where I want it to be.
All right.
So that's kind of how it works for me.
Right.
Now, like I said, am I missing out on some opportunity? Maybe. But okay is good enough for me as long as I'm getting traffic and leads at the place for that particular ad group that I'd like. And so to get an okay, I mean, all I basically do is make sure I have the main keyword for the ad group in the headline, try to fit it in the two lines of text, then after your URL, the / keyword deal that people talk about, and then on the lead capture page, wherever you're sending traffic. I just keep it simple. I'll do a little, just a dynamic keyword insertion at the top that says, if you're searching for Dagan Smith, if that was a keyword, then you'll love this free video.
Now, so, you use this dynamic keyword thing a lot. Do you use that on all text ads or only some of them, or on all of them do you insert the keyword they're searching for, you know, dynamically into your ad?
Only in Google.
Yeah, but so, I mean in Google, in terms of Google.
Yep. So every ad has its keyword.
Okay. That's the headline of it, basically.
Yeah, and I do it in a couple places. I mean, it's not just the keyword. It's also the header. It's also in a link at the bottom. I don't know if I still do this, but I used to have one of the photos named the main keyword or something weird like that. That part didn't necessarily help much, but having a link, I think, helps a little, and having it in the header helps a little too. So it's just basically putting the dynamic keyword insertion code in three places instead of just one.
Oh, okay. Because I just didn't know if you did that on all your ads or that was only in a certain ad group or something.
Nope. Yeah, every Google ad that's out there, I do that. More so for relevancy for the person, because at least when they get to my ad, they'll say, I was searching for that, and I can catch them in that thought and say, well, maybe you want to watch this too.
Okay.
You know, so to continue that conversation. But Google wants that anyway, so it's great.
Now, is there anything else to say about the pay-per-click?
Yeah, I mean, there's more keywords, and there's, like I said, there's no.
You got a lot of keywords. I guess that's one thing. Is you got probably thousands of keywords, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly how many, but it's, you know,
a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, tens of thousands. The one thing I would say is there's more keywords than you know. The question you ask is, well, you know, what else would someone that might be searching for what I have to offer be looking at?
Yeah.
And, you know, it leads to that question or that series of things you said, names, books, websites, etc. And there's simple places to find those. I mean, if you go to alexa.com and hit directory, you can basically pull up a listing of all the top websites in your niche. Okay. And you can just take those, go over to the Google keyword tool, pop it in, see what else comes up, and off you go, finding tons and tons of keywords.
Hmm. Well, I did have a question. Let me ask this about pay-per-click, then I'll ask this other question. Pay-per-click. Do you just reevaluate this then once a month? You're not like watching over these like eggs daily?
No, I'm not watching over the eggs. Like I went to Japan for a couple weeks and, you know, didn't care. I know everything's going to go smoothly. Actually, one thing did happen. I got home and my bandwidth was about to be exceeded, but I fixed that. But traffic wise, everything went smooth and sales came in and, you know, learn it. Get proficient, you know, at a place where you're profitable or you know you're going to be profitable in X amount of time, put it on autopilot.
Now, how did you get in thousands of keywords? Did you do that yourself? Did you have your family members do it, external service do it? I mean, that's a lot of keywords to get in there. Or did you just build it over time slowly?
Yeah, I'm definitely a slight edge principle. I believe in that philosophy. A little bit each day.
Right.
So maybe you're just putting three or four new ad groups in there a day, but over the course of a year, that's a ton of ad groups. That's a ton of keywords. So I started out that way myself, and then if, you know, I have someone freeloading off me, hanging out, I'll put them to work.
That's funny. All right. On the eZine mailings, quick question on that, spam issues. I mean, if you got an email going out solo mailing to a list of 500,000 people, a pretty decent chance you're going to get a spam complaint. So even though they're a double opt-in or whatever, people forget, unfortunately, that they opted into someone's list. Do you only go to double opt-in lists, or do you sometimes have solo mailings go out to single opt-in, or do you check? And then B, Have spam complaints been a problem or an issue?
No, they have not been much of an issue. If you get to bigger numbers, you need to keep what's called a suppression file. And the simple way to start one of those, and what is a suppression file? It's just a list of people's email addresses that don't want to see your offer again. So this isn't applicable when you're doing a newsletter mailing to a 10,000-person list or 50,000-person list. Gets more applicable when you're doing more things like cost per acquisition and, you know, newsletter mailings to over a million people. And if you're doing it on the cheap to create the suppression list, all you do is you, number one, in your autoresponder, pull out the people from that specific list that have unsubscribed, number one. And number two, at the bottom of your newsletter ad that's going out in whatever e-zine, you put a simple statement that says, if you don't want to receive or see this offer again, simply send us an email at, and it could be an email address that's like optout@yourwebsite.com. And on the cheap, yet you still, now you have to go back and compile these one at a time, but it gives you a way in. Now, the thing, like something like Direct Track, that's part of what it does, and so that's another reason why I'm making the switch over here pretty soon. But yeah, you do have to keep track of that as you get bigger.
All right. So suppression lists, if you get bigger, become an issue.
Yeah, they'll just ask for it. I mean, newsletter publishers will ask for it. The networks, if you start to do that stuff, will ask for it. So it becomes something you have to keep.
Is that your you have your total opt-out list, like I have my total opt-out list, the people that have unsubscribed from my e-zine. Do I have to give them my whole unsubscribe list, which is substantial, or?
Oh, okay, got you. No, so here's I do it like this. So if I have an offer going to a specific newsletter that's very big,
yeah,
or I have a specific offer going out in this cost per acquisition situation, I'll create a special form, just put a different tracking code there. So when I pull up that list as an Excel file, I'm only pulling up the list of people that unsubscribed that came from that source.
Okay, because those people, that specific source, are saying, we don't want to see your ad again. Okay.
Yep.
All right, well, interesting. I was not aware of that, and that's a good tip to know when you start, you know, hitting a little bit bigger numbers. Well, Dagan, listen, you've shared so much. I'm sure people's minds are just blown with the quality of this information. Now, want you to talk, because I know some people are going to want more from you. So one, they're going to want to know, how do they get on your list, number one, and, you know, and tell us a little bit about some, where they can learn more, because I know you do some webinars. You're going to have your big course or big box or whatever you want to call it that comes out pretty soon. How do they plug in to Dagan and keep current on what you're teaching and doing?
Oh, very, very good. The first thing I want to say is you go to www.recruitlikecrazy.com and check that out, because that's where all this traffic stuff that we've been talking about is pointed at. It's all pointed at that page. So if you want to see the funnel and, you know, what it's not, you know, it's just a regular looking page and what you know, what a page looks like that gets over 1,000 leads a day and it's not JVs and all that sort of stuff, it just looks regular. So you want to check that out, opt into the list there, and you'll be on my mailing list. And I started out in network marketing, but my true passion is direct marketing, just in general. I really just love learning conversions, getting more leads, getting more exposure, and helping teach people how to do that. One of the things I'm getting ready to do is start an inner circle. So you want to get on my list. You can either go to recruitlikecrazy.com or dagansmith.com, D-A-E-G-A-N, Smith, S-M-I-T-H.com. And I think you'll get a kick out of my emails, by the way. So come on.
Yeah, you write some great emails, and they're really worth studying and subscribing just to get on the list and to see, because, you know, you email a lot, but you send out just engaging, interesting emails, you know.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother discussion. But so go to one of those two places, and in the next couple weeks, I'll be announcing a kind of an inner circle. Like Marlon and I went over tons of traffic stuff just now. I'm basically going to be going from soup to nuts on a live call every other week or so, and answer questions and give specific blueprints for each model and creating products and all these other conversion sort of things and scaling up from the Dagan Smith method, you know, from the way I think. So if you've got a lot out of this, just check me out. You know, nothing to buy now, but just be on the lookout. Unless you're a network marketer and you want to learn how to do that, absolutely. But there will be something coming soon.
Well, I think this is awesome, and people need to do it. And the reason is because, just as you can see from this call, I mean, who else can break it down and give highly specific numbers like you have? And who else is generating 500, 1,000 leads a day and willing to share it? There's people doing it, but they're tight-lipped. I mean, they may offer that as the evidence or the proof and show their list, but then when you get their course or their info or whatever, you know, they ain't telling what they're doing. They'll give you broad general I don't really mean to put people down, but it is the truth. They give you broad general advice and just the same old, but they ain't giving any specifics about how they're doing it.
Believe me, I know. I bought it all myself. And that's one of the reasons why I think I have the perspective I have and you have the perspective you have, is that, you know, it's nice to say this is magical and great things are going to happen, but look, here's what it really looks like. And I think there's so much value in that. And
it's awesome. The numbers you shared and your willingness to share all of those numbers is exceptional, and no one else is willing to do it. You also have this Midas Touch Insiders Lab thing that's pretty cool. I'm a member of it, where you send out, you know, like once a week, you actually give people your keywords, and you send out this in-depth stuff like once a week.
Yep, just like we went through some of the pay-per-click stuff. What I basically do after I go and put it into practice in my business, if they're working, I'll give them out to other folks, and I just don't really think there's such a thing as competition, so I have no problem sharing where I'm getting traffic and all that sort of stuff. And it's just it's called the Midas Touch Insiders Club, so some of the things I share, they're always specific locations. I did an ad exactly at this place. Most of the time I'll say this is exactly what the ad looked like, if I remember what it looked like, and I'll give the results and, you know, how to get in touch with the person to set it up yourself. And that's pretty much what it is. Very simple.
One else has the guts to do that. I mean, folks, this is exactly what he's doing. You know, this is not, you know, well, I can't tell you where I'm, blah, blah. I mean, this is the actual thing. And it's kind of cool because it's still a desktop thing. And in mine, it sits in my system tray. And then when he sends out a message, boom, it just pops right up. And like you sent out the other day, actual keywords from your Google campaigns that you could download. I mean, you don't hold nothing back on this thing. So I highly recommend it. And that's at what? recruitlikecrazy.com/?
That one you would find if you went to dagansmith.com and you went to the products page and you see a listing for Midas Touch.
Oh, okay. So
Insiders Club.
DAEGANSMITH.com.
Yep.
All right. Well, listen, you've just been a wealth of information. And I know people's minds are just blown. So I want to thank you so much for your time today. And if you haven't gone yet to Recruit Like Crazy, RECRUIT Like Crazy.com, go there. Get on Dagan's email list and check out what he sends out and his new offers when he comes out with them. And Dagan, I just wanted to say thank you so much for being on the call today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's an honor and a pleasure. And, we'll talk again soon.
All right, great.
Thank you.